10th chapter of Romans. You remember last Sunday morning, I spoke briefly from this verse of Scripture, Romans 10:13. I mentioned last Sunday morning the preacher whom I heard on television, and he spent a great deal of time on the word whosoever. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call. He talked about it being a wide word, and verily it is. It is, in fact, it is indeed a wide, wide word. Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male and female, barbarian, Scythian. It's a wide, wide word. Whosoever. And then he spent a great deal of time on the latter part of the Scripture, the last three words, shall be saved. He talked about God's shalls and God's wills. Whatever God gives to a man is for eternity. It shall be done. Every promise of God is secure and sure. It shall be done. What it means to be saved. But he had little or nothing to say about the middle part of that verse, which declares the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The name of the Lord. Well, I've been giving a lot of thought to that this week, and I plan to speak to you this morning on the subject, the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord. What's in a name? And if you will, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Acts now, chapter 3, verse 6. What's in this name? Why is so much emphasis put on the name of the Lord? The name of the Lord. In Acts chapter 3, in the third chapter of the book of Acts, Peter and John, it says in verse 1, went up together into the temple. They'd gone to the temple about an hour of prayer, being about the ninth hour. Peter and John, two of our Lord's disciples, had gone to the temple 3 o'clock in the afternoon to pray. And there was a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, who was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. There are several gates there at the temple, and this particular gate is called Beautiful. And there was where this man lay every day, at the gate called Beautiful, and he would beg there. He would ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Here's a man 40 years of age, lame from his mother's womb, sitting by this gate in his deformity and impotence, with his hands out begging to all the worshipers, begging from them, the worshipers who went into the temple. Verse 3, who when he saw Peter and John, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he held out his hand to them. These two disciples of our Lord, hoping to receive something from them, some money. And Peter, fastening his eyes on this man with John, said, look on us, look on us. Here this man in his impotence and helplessness and inability, in his rags and dirt and filth. And this is a picture of Christ redeeming sinners. When our Lord raises a dead man from the tomb, he's showing how that he raises spiritually dead people. It's not just demonstrating our Lord's power over death, but also his power over spiritual death. When our Lord gave sight to the blind, it's a picture of how that he gives spiritual sight to those who are blind by sin. When he gives hearing, and when he causes the lame to walk, the lame in Adam are made to walk. And that's what this is all about here. And this man reached out to Peter, and Peter fastened his eyes on him, and he said, look on us, look on us. Verse 5, and he gave heed to them. He heard Peter, expecting to receive something of him and of John. And Peter said, now watch this, I don't have any money. Silver and gold have I none. I don't have any money. But what I have, such as I have, give I thee. Now watch this. In the name. In the name. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you rise up and walk. And Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and this man's 40 years old now, he's never walked. From his mother's womb, he's been a cripple. Think of the condition of his legs, his body. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew who it was. They knew it was he that sat and begged for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, he just held on to them. He wanted to stay with them, and he took them by the arms, you know, by the hand. All the people ran together unto them also, unto Peter and John, in the porch that's called Solomon's porch, greatly wondering. Now I want you to watch Peter's admonition. And when Peter saw it, he saw the wonder on the face of the people, the amazement and literally idolizing those disciples as they gathered around them. You know, here's a man that had never walked, and Peter saw what was going on. He saw their amazement and their wonderment. And Peter, now watch what he said. He answered the people, verse 12, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel at this miracle? Why are you so amazed? And why do you look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or by our own holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, whom you denied in the presence of Pilate, when you said, 'Give us Barabbas,' when he was determined to let him go, finding no fault in him. But you denied the Holy One and the Just One, and you desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." And, now watch this, his name, this is our subject, his name, you remember, when that man was lying there twisted and impotent and broken and lame and helpless, and Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you rise up and walk. Now he's explaining what's taken place to a bunch of people who's literally worshiping him and adoring him and about to follow him. He says, hold it right there. It is his name and through faith in his name that hath made this man strong. It's not me. I have nothing to do with it. It's that name. That name. Well, the priest. This didn't go on without coming to the attention of the priest. They just didn't fade back into the background, these disciples, after this was done. They just didn't disappear, you know. This is a notable deed. This man had been lying there all these years. They all knew him, and they saw him walking, leaping, praising God, going in and out of the temple. And it shook some folks up, especially the head honchos in the temple, the priest, the chief priest, the captain, the Sadducees. So they came and found the disciples and laid hold of them. They surrounded them. They surrounded here Peter and John. And these fellows, these captain of the temple and the Sadducees and the chief priests and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all these fellows gathered here around these disciples. Verse 7, Acts 4. Acts 4, verse 7. And when they set them in the middle of them, it's a frightening thing. A while ago, the disciples were frightened by the people as they gathered around them in amazement and wonderment and came upon them, you know, could have carried them on their shoulders and made them kings. You know, he said, hold it right there in his name. It's his name. Don't look on the... Now, these fellows are gathered around them, you know, and it's a different atmosphere. It's a different attitude. It's the gnashing of teeth. It's the clenched fist. It's the, what's going on here, you know. You're encroaching on our territory. And they said in verse 7, when they set them in the midst, they said, by what power and by what name are you acting and functioning and doing things like this? By what power? What? By what authority? And by what name are you doing what you're doing? Peter's not at a loss for words. When a man's preaching Christ and glorifying Christ and seeking to honor Christ, God won't leave him at a loss for words. He'll honor his word. So in verse 10, Acts 4, he said, be it known unto you, all of you, and to all the people of Israel, all you captain of this temple, and you Sadducees and Pharisees and high priests and Annas and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all the rest of you, I got something to tell you. That by the name, you just can't get away from it, can you? You see, you don't see yet, but you will, why I got so upset with this preacher last week. As I listened to a big preacher. He has all the credentials. He's got his college ring. He's got his DD and all this, that big preacher, renown. But he didn't know the gospel because he never did preach it. He dealt with the whosoever's and the shalls and never dealt with the name, Milton. Never dealt with the name. Never touched it. If he'd have known it, he'd have said it. Peter couldn't get away from it. Every time they pushed Peter, he said, it's the name. Every time people came in amazement and wanted to reward him or laud him or honor him, no, it's that name. And when they wanted to kill him, he said, that's that name. And when they wanted to know what power, authority he operated on, that name. Boy, if you ever know that name, you'll be that way too. If you ever learn that name. Most people don't know that name. Yeah, he said, be it known to every one of you that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him did this man stand before you whole, by his power, by his grace. This is the stone which is set at naught by you builders. You're trying to build a building without the cornerstone. Can't be done. And you set it not that which is the head of the corner. And I'll tell you something else. Neither, verse 12, is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name. There's none other name under heaven given. Given. Don't forget that word as I move on in this message. The name given. Name given. There's none other under heaven. Under the galaxies, under the third heaven, under wherever God is in the north. No name! You can talk about Catholicism or Jews or Israel or Baptists. There's no name. Forget your names. They ain't worth the time it takes to say them. Just one name! Just one name. And it was given. Whereby we must be delivered, must be saved. Well, these chief priests and elders and Pharisees and Sadducees and captains of the temple and high priests got together after they'd seen the boldness of this man Peter, and they realized he hadn't been taught in their schools. He didn't talk like they talked. He talked like a man with some authority. He talked like a God-taught man. In verse 16, they said, what shall we do to these men? How are we going to handle this situation? How are we going to handle it? If we'll ever learn to preach that name, to worship in that name, and to declare that name, it'll be like that name he spoke in the garden when they came to arrest him. They said, we seek Jesus. He said, I am. And they fell down. The forces of evil, the powers of evil and darkness fall before that name. But when we come in our own name, We just start a fuss, that's all. You know why churches are filled with a lot of fussing and division? They got the wrong name. They're doing things in the wrong name. And they said, what are we going to do with these fellows? Verse 16, for that indeed, without question, a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. But that it spread no further. We want our religion to be left alone. We want the status quo. That's Latin for the mess we're in, to keep going like it is. Nobody touch it. We're happy. We're all right. We don't want to be disturbed. Let it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them. They can carry on their prayers at the third hour, the sixth hour, and the ninth hour. We don't care. They can keep the Sabbath day. We don't care. They can bring your tithes into the storehouse. We don't care. They can proselyte, soul win, all they want to. We don't care. But that they speak henceforth no more in this name. That's got to stop. That's got to stop. Play church all you want to, but don't preach this name. And they called them and they commanded them. Now, you fellas, we're going to give you a lot of latitude. Keep your denominational program going and have your Saturday night singings and all these things and take up your offerings and build your schools and hospitals. Ain't got no objections to all that. Keep your rules and regulations, your Sabbath day. But they called them, verse 18, and commanded them, don't speak anymore or teach anymore that name. That name we don't want around here. Don't want that name. Speak no more. Speak no more in that name. Well, why all this turmoil about that name? All the way through these two chapters, folks, Peter and the apostles and the priest and all these fellows are got a whole lot to say about that name, that name, that name. Why does the Apostle Peter continue to emphasize that name? Why did the prophets of old and the apostles constantly refer to that name? Let's look up a few. Look up Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is no new thing here that Peter invented. We preach no new gospel. Like Paul of old, ours is the ancient gospel which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Isaiah had something to say about the name. Isaiah 9, verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name, call his name, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, that's his name, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of And of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. Well, Jeremiah, turn to Jeremiah chapter 23 and listen to Jeremiah talk about that name. That name, if thou shalt call upon the name, whosoever shall call upon the name. In Jeremiah 23:5, it says, Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, I'll raise up unto David a righteous branch and a king. Shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in this earth. And in his days Judah shall be saved. And Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name. Whereby he shall be called. You recognize him by the name. You'll know him by his name. Capital letters. The Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. That's his name. In the name of Jesus. There's none other name under heaven. Do what you want to, but don't preach in this name. Don't have this name around here. Matthew 1:21, the angel said something about that name. When God put that star in heaven 2,000 years ago over the little city of Bethlehem, where he would be born, whose goings forth have been from everlasting. God sent his messengers from heaven down to this earth, and they visited a little Jewish maiden. And then they visited Joseph, the engaged husband of Mary. In verse 21 of Matthew 1, he said, Matthew 1:21, and Mary will bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is written by the Lord, of the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. That's his name. Joseph, that's his name. God with us. And then when our Lord was about to ascend to heaven, back to the Father, in Luke 24, he gathered his disciples around him. These disciples who were going out to a hostile world. They were going out with a message which men despised and hated, which offended the dignity and wisdom and pride of this world. And our Lord gathered them about them, and he said in verse 44 of Luke chapter 24, he said to them, these are the words I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. And then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. And he said, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. And then Philippians chapter 2, and I want us to look at this for a moment. Why all the turmoil about this name? Preacher, why are you so taken up with this name? Why do the apostles keep talking about the name? Philippians chapter 2, I want you to look at this, and this sums it up and brings it together. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Who being... Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. Preacher, what's that mean? Who being in the form of God. Preacher, what's that mean? It means this, that Jesus Christ is God. This being the nature and essence of God, Jesus Christ is God. From all eternity, he's the living God. Being in the form of God. When it says he is in the form of a servant, it says he's really a servant. He's in the form, habit of a servant. That is, he's really a servant. He's in the form of a servant. When it says he's being found in fashion as a man, it's saying he's really and truly a man. So when this scripture says being in the form of God, being in the form of God, verse 6, who being in the form of God, he thought it not taking something that wasn't his to be equal with God. He is equal with God, same attributes, same glory, same power. He said, as the Father quickeneth the dead, so the Son quickeneth the dead. So being in the form of God, he is really and truly God, same nature, same glory, same attributes. He is in the form of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He that has seen me has seen God, being in the form of God. Look at verse 7. But by his grace he made himself of no reputation. For while this form of God was hidden from the eyes of men, God became a man. Made himself of no reputation. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty. We should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. The carpenter, winebibber, glutton, made himself of no reputation. And voluntarily, it wasn't forced upon him, but voluntarily, verse 7, he took on himself. He said, no man takes my life, I lay it down. No man makes me do what I'm doing, I do it willingly, voluntarily. He became the servant to his Father, mine elect, my servant, in whom my soul rejoices. He became a servant to his people. He said, the Son came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. He, the form of God, being in the form of God, the same attributes, equal with God, same nature, same glory, same power, yet for a season, for a while, he was made a little lower than the angels, and took upon himself the form of man, the form of a servant. The form of God was hidden, and they said, we know who he is. He's a carpenter. We know who he is. He's Mary's son. And he was made in the likeness of men. He became literally bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He was born of a woman. He was made under the law. He was tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. He was literally numbered, identified with us transgressors. Made in the likeness of men. Can you believe it? Yes. Can you understand it? No. God became a man. Can you believe it? Yes. Can you explain it? No. I can't. But verse 8 says, in being found in fashion, in habit, as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient. Obedient from the cradle to the cross. Obedient. No man has ever been obedient to God, to parents, to magistrates, to the ceremonial law, to the moral law, to all the requirements of God. Obedient in every jot and tittle from the cradle to the grave. He became obedient. Not my will, thy will be done. In a total dedication, in a total consecration, he became obedient. And by his obedience, he imputed to us that perfect, holy, spotless righteousness of God. My representative, obedient. Obedient. Who being in the form of God, thought it not for a moment robbery or taking something that wasn't his to be equal with God. Yet, willingly he made himself of no reputation. Everybody that was anybody deserted him, turned thumbs down on him. Even his closest friends and his own half-brothers would not believe on him. He walked the wine press of God's wrath alone, despised and rejected. A servant to his Father's eternal covenant. A servant to his people for whom he was made surety. Made in the likeness of men. Despised sinful flesh. And became obedient. Even to the death of the cross. Obedient, even to the death of the cross, even to that awful, ignominious, cruel, inhuman cross. Dying under the wrath of a holy God, under the mockings and harassment of an ignorant people, laughed at, despised, and rejected. Till even when he cried, my God, why have you forsaken? Obedient. Though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Obedient. Preacher, why did he do all that? For two reasons. He did it to honor and glorify his Father. In the fulfillment of his Father's will and testament and covenant. And he did it because he loved his sheep. And they had to have a perfect righteousness which they couldn't produce, and only he can. And they had to have a satisfied justice, fully satisfied, completely fulfilled in every jot and tittle. If God can find one thread, one atom of evil
in Christ, we're goners.
Wherefore? Because of all? Wherefore? What's that there for? Wherefore? The form of God made himself of no reputation, took on himself the form of a servant, was made obedient even to the death. Wherefore? God the Father hath exalted him. Not you, him. Not the angels, him. He's exalted him above our exaltation. That's right. God the Father hath exalted him, to which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. To which of the angels said he at this time, come up and sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies thy footstool. The Father hath exalted him. Watch it now, stay with me. And the Father hath given him a name. Poor fool. Poor leader, blind leader of the blind. Spending your time on the whosoever's when you ought to be spending your time on the name. The whosoever's will come along if you'll preach the name. The shalls are only shalls in that name. They're not shalls for any other reason. God ain't got a shall apart from Christ. Shall be saved, but only in that name. Because of that name. Through that name. I'm telling you. You played the game till you've gospel hardened your hearts and everybody else's, and nobody knows anything about the name. But God knows. God hath highly exalted him above all exaltation and given him a name. Here it is! A name above every name! Oh, I love it. Sinners all love it. Here's the answer to my question. Peter, why all the turmoil about that name? Why are you constantly referring to that name? Why do you keep talking about the name? Why do the prophets and apostles talk about the name? And the answer comes back, God gave it to him. And it's the name I preach, and the name I profess, and the name I trust, and the name I love, and the name upon whom I call. It's the power and the glory and the authority and the fame and the renown God gave to the God-man. None other wears this name, who being in the form of God was made in the likeness of flesh, and he became two natures in one, the God-man. That's his name. Nobody ever wore it. Yeah, Peter. Yeah, Moses. You had a name, prophet. Glorious name. But he's greater than you, Moses. He's that prophet. Yeah, Aaron, come on, Aaron. You got a name, high priest, and the whole nation tremble before you. And that name, high priest, is glorious, but none are fit to wear it like he wears it. He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He wears the name. David, you're a king and a pretty good one, but you ain't nothing compared to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He wears that name. This is not his name, Son of God. That's what he is. He wasn't exalted as God. You can't exalt God. He's high as he can get. God hath given him a name which is above every name. God hath highly exalted him, not as the Son of God. He can't be exalted. That's what he is. This is not the name Son of Man. That's what he became. And as only man, he cannot be the object of worship. You better not worship a man. Can't exalt him as God. He can't be exalted as a man. But as the God-man, as the Redeemer, as the Savior, as our righteousness, wisdom, sanctification, and redemption, the Father hath said, in this name, he'll be exalted above every day. He's given a name. He's given fame. He's given renown. He's given glory. He's given honor. He's given dignity as never before thought of, spoken of, or bestowed upon any creature. The Father hath given him all power in heaven and earth, all authority over all flesh, that at the name of the God-man. But, verse 10, no translation is perfect. It says that at the name of Jesus, I wish to change one word. That in the name of Jesus. Because this is an idolatrous world. And this bowing, and this bowing, and this worship that saves is not an outward act upon hearing a name. We say Jesus. Everybody gets religious. We say Jesus. Everybody bows. It's not bowing at the name. Nothing is shown by such outward respect. It's to bow before God in His holiness and His righteousness and justice in the name of Christ. See what I'm talking about? Because of the God-man's person and word. It's by reason of His office I come to God in the name of Jesus. It's by reason of the work He performed. It's by reason of the power conferred upon Him. It's by reason of the mercy He can bestow. It's by reason of the glory and position He occupies. It's in the name of Christ I pray. It's in the name of Christ I plead. It's in the name of Christ I worship. In the name. Mike, you see that? God bless you if you do. God have mercy if you don't. Because there's none other name under heaven. And old Peter had a hold of this. He had a hold of this when he came by that old crippled man and he said, I don't have any money, but if I gave you money, you'd spend it and you'd be broke tomorrow. I don't have anything to give you monetarily, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And I'll tell you this, sinner, bowed down from your mother's womb. It's been 40 years or longer that you've never spiritually walked. You've never seen the glory of God. You've never heard the voice of Him who speaks from heaven. I tell you, in the name of Jesus Christ, in His name now, the God-man, in His, who He is, what He did, why did it? Where He is now? In His name. Come to God. Rise up and walk. And whosoever shall call upon that name shall be saved.